I was just sharing with someone just the other day. There's singers everywhere. But I appreciate someone that not just worships God here or here, but worships God there, worships God. They're a worshiper. And, you know, whether any minister, it's not when I get in my profession. No. No, ministry is not something you do. It's what you are. It's what you are in every fiber of your being. Praise God. Worship God. Worship God wherever you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust the Lord will sustain my voice. This morning, did yesterday evening in the service, and I was telling you, sometimes your silliness gets a hold of you. Have you ever found that? Your silliness gets a hold of you? Because I had a growling competition with a 3-year-old yesterday, and my voice lost. I got beat by a 3-year-old, and then I remembered I had to preach, and that was foolish. That was foolish, but the Lord is merciful, sustains us. Let's go in the Scripture. I have been, I guess, for the last 2 months, I want to go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the 25th verse says, but not as a plan, not as something that I laid out that I thought would be my course. I didn't understand it, just following the leading of the Lord. You just start seeking God and called this church to seek God. And I'm so thankful that so many took hold and began to seek God and began to see the difference in people. And if you see the difference in people in a church, you're going to see the difference in the church itself. But there's never a difference in the people, and that whether it's the pastor, the preacher, the singer, the worshiper, the congregation, if there's not a difference there, there's not going to be any difference in the church either. Because the church, as we might talk about, doesn't come as a group. It begins with an individual. It begins with each of us. But I didn't understand it, but over the past 2 months, really what the Lord's been giving me is describing what a church is, what His church is, what it means. And I've said this, and I mean it with all my heart. I think that we have one of the greatest congregations I know. When I say that, it's not the greatest in size by any means, but people that love the Lord, people that a good spirit, people that I don't sense, I couldn't always say this, contention and tailbearing and things like that. That's a precious thing. Especially if those of you who've ever been a pastor, those who have been around much, and you begin to see what begins to work. And I say that. I think I've got, that we've got here as great a congregation as I've ever seen. I've been a lot of places, seen a lot of churches. Seen a lot of things that look good the first service and look okay the second service, and you start scratching your head the third service. But I'm going to say what I've been saying for the last 2 months, but that's still not a church. A church is built by the Spirit of God, and it's built as God places living stones, that the Scripture says that complete man in Ephesians, what is it, 4, that measure the stature, the fullness of Christ, stands up, grows up, but it's according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. It's as God works in me, and it's as God works in you. And that a church begins to be revealed. A church, that when a church stands up, that God builds, it's as though Jesus Christ Himself was in our midst. And I'll say this, I didn't always know this. There never has been, never will be a single person that's the fullness of Jesus Christ. God didn't ordain it that way. But He did ordain the church be the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That in a church, there be the full ministry. The ministry of the Word, the ministry of wisdom, the ministry of knowledge, the ministry of miracles, the ministry of healings, the full manifestation of Christ. And I want to see the church that God builds. That's what I want to see. I've seen what man can build. And I've also seen what I can build. It ain't much. But I've seen the great things that men can build and that organization can build and that program can build. And all of it comes so short of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And we have living stones in this place. And of course, that was part of our message last night. When the Scripture says in Ephesians 2, it says you're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That a church that God builds is a place where God walks on earth. It's a place where God walks among men. And it's not all the preacher. And it's not all the singer. It's those living stones built together, each with a different manifestation of the measure of Christ. But each needed because there's a need that needs what they have. Now, here in the fifth chapter, I didn't realize it. I went to bed last night telling God, I said, as far as I know, I don't have anything for the congregation this morning. Preached everything I knew last night. I went to bed. I woke up this morning. I'm laying in bed. And I said, Lord, you've got to speak to me. I said, because as far as I know, I don't have anything for the congregation. And I tell the Lord that because I know when God's moving in a person, I know you have something. I know that. You just, sometimes you don't know what it is. And if the Lord don't speak to you, they ain't gonna know what it is either. But the Lord, just laying there in their bed this morning, took me to this passage of Scripture I want to read, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. That's not my message, but that's a good message. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And this is what Jesus gave Himself to present to Himself. A glorious church. I think for most of this past 2 months, the things that God has been giving me, Brother Surface told me something, and I'd never considered it, but after I pondered it a little bit, I had to accept it. I don't know, I was over the office maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he told me, he said, you know, son, he says, I've always kind of taken the approach of Moses. You remember this conversation? He said, when Israel rejected God, Moses still got before God and said, show me your glory. Show me your way. If no one else wants it, no one else wants it. If they all reject you and they rejected the voice of God and they built a golden calf and they worshiped it and they polluted the camp, and yet Moses is crying, but God, show me your glory. Show me your way. And Brother Surface talked to me. He said, you know, he said, I guess I've always taken that approach. God, I want to stand upon the rock. I want to hide in the rock. And he said, and I've seen God do many wonderful and astounding things in my ministry. In that, in just that, if no one else wants it. God, I want it, and I want to see you, and I want to behold your glory. But he told me something, and it's not something I'd considered, not something I planned. He said, but what God's doing is different, and I believe that. He says, you're not one saying, God, if no one else, you're just saying, God, lift us all. lift us all, because that's what a church is. A church is not a man. A church is not a woman. A church is not, and I tell you what we need and what God ordained. I've seen great ministers in my life. I've seen great men and women of God, people you would bank on, people you'd count on, people in a time of need that you would seek out, that you would look for, that you knew that they could and would touch God. I've seen that. But when I go to the Scripture, and the Scripture says He gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I've never seen man, woman, or even a body that is the fullness of Christ. And I want to see the church that God builds. I want to see that. It's promised. It's promised. One thing I know. So I preach Scriptures. I preach things in these last few weeks. Some things I've never seen with these eyes. Some things I've had. Some things I've seen in part. Some things, and someone says, "Oh, you're just preaching a theory." I'm not preaching a theory. I'm preaching what the Word of God says. It's not a theory. I'm preaching what the Word of God says. But someone says, how can you preach it if you've not seen it? How can you believe it if you've not seen it? I was lost when I believed that Jesus was a Savior. I was lost when I believed that He could take my sin away. It wasn't real for me. I hadn't walked in it yet, but I believed it. And it became my possession. And so it is with every word of God. So it is with every promise of God. Amen. And I've been praying, God, show me the more. And how about you show me the more? Amen. Show me that which you promised. And if you said the church is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, and we look around and what is called the church is evidently not that, then it must be your will to do that. It must be you. It is His will, folks. Scripture says, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Just quickly, just Colossians, the first chapter and the third verse. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since you heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, this is the word. I want you to realize this. He said, you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He said, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit. When the word of the truth of the gospel comes, it brings forth fruit. And when it's believed, it transforms a life, a soul. When it's believed, it delivers a soul from sin and sanctifies that person. And that's what the Scripture calls the washing of water by the Word. And the reason I bear this out is because we've traded the power of the gospel that saves for a never-ending process and program that we get people into that we're continually scrubbing on them. And that's not what He's saying. He gave Himself to sanctify and cleanse it. And it doesn't start with the whole. It starts with an individual. It starts with a stone. An individual that could say like Paul, that could say like me, Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you say, well, Paul had a sin problem. He said, I am chief. Read two verses before. He says, in times past, I was injurious. I was injurious. I caused many to blaspheme. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Unbelief is ignorance. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And it's a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And what does He do? He finds an individual that He gave Himself to wash them, to sanctify them. But He sends the word of the truth of the gospel to them. And I want to tell you that a walk with God is not a lifetime of scrubbing. Now, I've never phrased it that way, but it sounds like a good way to phrase it. It's not a lifetime of scrubbing. I know that sometimes people have different doctrinal ways they view things. And I don't believe that sanctification is a progressive work, but I know men and women of God that do. But I want to say this. The men and the women of God that do, when they say sanctification is a progressive work, they don't think that you're progressing out of adultery. They don't think that you're progressing out of fornication. They don't think that you're progressing out of immorality. They don't think you're progressing out of being a thief. They don't think you're... All those things that the Scripture says shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They also believe that when you're washed, those things are gone. But we've come to a generation... that salvation does nothing. Get you in the program. That's all it does. Get you in the program. Get you in our scrubbing club. I want to tell you, just like the old songwriter, I've heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And He gave Himself to sanctify and cleanse it. And it didn't take him a lifetime. It took Him those hours upon the cross. But when He gave His last breath, He said, it is finished. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Christ, you're going to probably be like me, a whole lot of ignorant. There's a lot to learn. There's still a lot to learn. The more I learn, the more I know there's more to learn. And there's more that Christ would show me and lead me into. But I'm going to stand here, what has it been, 39 years later, that when the day I came to Christ, He took my sin away. He took my sin. There's never been a day, Vonda, that I wanted it back. There's never been a day that I went back. I'm not saying that others haven't fallen by the wayside and God even reached down and picked him up again. But that wasn't God's plan. Our mess ups are not God's plan. He gave Himself to sanctify it and cleanse it. And it starts with an individual stone. And I'm saying stone because Peter says you as living stones. It begins with an individual stone and the word of the truth of the gospel comes to them. And we don't look at them and we don't see an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. We don't see a worship leader. We don't see a Sunday school teacher. We don't see someone laboring the Lord. We see the lost. We see the lost. We see just a soul. When we target people because we think, oh, if we get them saved, they'll be great in the kingdom of God. We have no idea what we're thinking. God doesn't choose anyone because of their greatness. He chooses them because they're lost. Because they're lost and they need a Savior. And I want to say this. This congregation, you know I love you. When I say that I believe with all my heart that we have one of the greatest congregations I've ever seen, in that congregation there are lost people also. Lost people that I love. But He gave Himself, to think back to our text in Ephesians 5, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. And I want to tell you this, before you become a stone that's placed by His Spirit in His church, that is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all, you're going to receive the Word of the truth of the Gospel, and He's going to wash you. Amen. There's something that's absolutely true, and Paul tells us this. I've told people over the years, I've sometimes had the wool pulled over my eyes. How about you? You ever had that? You've ever been totally, totally heartbroken and disappointed on someone that you thought was so real and so true? I have. I've had my heart broken. And then sometimes I didn't give someone much credit, but I kept watching and I saw, you know, that person's got something real with God. I've been wrong both ways, and I can admit it. I want to tell you this, God's never wrong. He knows those that are His. He knows those that are His. And when you or I stand before God, it won't be, God won't care about, but brother told, the surface told me I was alright. It won't matter. It won't matter. But I want to tell you today, you can know that you're right with God. You can know, you can have that blessed assurance in your heart, in your soul, vibrating through your members. But He said this, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. And He doesn't take a group of people and get them together and call it His church and then begin to wash them. He finds sinners. He finds them in the highways, in the hedges. Sometimes He finds them in a church house. But He finds sinners. He finds lost people. And the Word of the truth of the Gospel comes to them. And they believe upon this Jesus Christ. And He cleanses them. If they will receive His Spirit, His Spirit takes that stone and begins to place it in a building that's called the temple of God, the holy habitation of God. I can't place you there. No one but the Spirit of God can place you there. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're a sinner, He wants you there. If you're a child of God, just been languishing, He wants you there. That He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the Word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church. A church, not a church building. Not just a group of people gathered together. But a church is a building made by the hands of God where God abides in the midst. That's what a church is. Anything else is just an organization. It's just something that man has put together. But a church. And that's why He calls it a glorious church. I shared this in another service. One of my brothers sometimes goes to one of the super churches, probably one of the better. But he was sharing something. They were having something going, some special event going on. I think it was a humongous gathering outside. And they had, you know, the platform, or I guess they call it a stage now, set up.
and everything going and everybody pumped up. He started noticing at intervals the crowd just kind of they're just not go crazy, not insane crazy, but they just start, oh yes, glory, glory, hallelujah, you know, however they worship God. And he's standing there with his wife, and he all of a sudden he looks and he realized what was going on. The lights were changing. The lights were changing. Now, I never was a concert person, but I do know that it doesn't matter if it's Christian or secular nowadays, it's all about lighting and staging and everything like that. And the lights were changing. And the lights, and the people would come alive, and the people would clap, and the people would praise, and the people would get excited. And finally, he looked at his wife and said, look at that. She goes, what? Look what happens when they change the lights. I want to tell you, I'm thank God we've got lights in this place. But that doesn't make a glorious church. That'll stop God from making a glorious church. A glorious church is first and foremost when God is in the midst. Because the glory is the glory of God. And short of that, we're naked. Short of that, we're impotent. Short of that, we're empty. I've told the Lord, I told you last night, someone says, how do you reach people? You're asking me? Says, how do you reach people? But you're asking me. If I could stand up, write a book, and tell you how to reach people, and it'd be true, I'd have this place full. I'm just stating the obvious. But I've told the Lord many times, I've asked the Lord probably 1,000 times, God, how do I reach the lost? But I've told the Lord this, Lord, the one thing that satisfies me, not satisfies that there's lost that I can't reach, but Your presence with me, Your presence in our midst. He gave Himself to sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water, by the word of the truth of the gospel, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. And I will say this, as we've shared over these past weeks, a glorious church is, yes, where the truth is preached by the Holy Ghost, but it's also where the needs are met. It's where the sick are healed. It's where the oppressed go free. It's where the demons are cast out by the Word of God. And it's not about a man. It's not about a woman. It's about Jesus Christ being manifest in that which is His body. But that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. I don't know how many times someone see events of the world, see events going on, and I myself so moved by the signs of the times. But look at the events, look at the wars, look at the rumors of wars, look at the Middle East, and says He can come anytime. And when I look at that, I say yes. But I want you to consider something. When I look at what's called the church and what the Scripture says He will present to Himself, I say, no, He can't. Is that sacrilegious? Is that blasphemy to say that? Would there be a glorious church if He came today to present to Himself? I'm not talking about somebody being able to get a meeting together with 10 or 20,000 people. 30 or 40,000 people. Oh, isn't this glorious? I've been around long enough to know the hollowness of it all. And I tell the Lord, I'm not interested in a show in the flesh.
I'm not interested in something that looks like a move of God. I'm not interested in something that looks like a revival. I want to see that which you build. And as long as we're satisfied with flesh, we'll have it until it runs out of our nostrils. Not having spot or wrinkle. That's why I say, I mean, we're the church, this biggest proclamation is we all sinners. Well, I ask people about this. I said, what do you mean by that? I mean, do you mean that we sometimes don't get everything right? Well, I agree with that. I've got a lot of things wrong in my lifetime. What do you mean? I was a good dad. I wasn't a perfect dad. What do you mean? The guy that thinks he's a perfect dad is going to make a mess. But I was a good dad. And I can say that because they got four grown men. And Karen was a good mom. Got four grown men that receive the acclaim from everybody that knows them. And so I can stand up and say, I can accept that as a good dad, but I wasn't a perfect dad. And I trust I'm a good pastor. I'm not a perfect pastor. My goodness. My goodness, I can blunder through so many things. Is that what you're talking about when you're saying we're all sinners? Or are you saying we're all liars? Are you saying we're all lustful? I don't believe that. See, we need to understand the implications of what we say. And the implications of what we... Are we saying that we're all manipulators? I knew a man... It would talk about, all preachers are liars. They just manipulate. They just do that. And I'd ask him, when have I ever lied to you? Well, I'm not talking about you. But when you say y'all sinners, what are you talking about? Are you talking about that there's things you need to know that you don't know, that if you don't know, you might make a mess of things? Well, I can agree with that. But you're saying that you're a child of God, and but you're a manipulator and a deceiver, and you're covetous. No, I don't agree with that. He sanctified the people with His own blood. What are you saying when you say that? Because we live in a church world that everything's covered. Everything, nothing really matters, because we all just like that. No, I found a Savior that saves. How about you? Amen. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Could Jesus Christ come today, would He have such a church to present to Himself? I've always taken, maybe we pick one here, one there, maybe that's it. But that sure doesn't seem to fit like what glorious sounds like to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, we got a half dozen in Conroe, we've got 20 in North Texas, and we got 10 over here. And the world's lost, and the world mocks the name of Jesus Christ and scoffs at it and thinks that everyone in the name of Jesus is self-righteous because they do the same things that they tell others not to do. Lord, you'll have to help me, keep me from getting in trouble this morning. I've seen the mighty hand of God, not like what the Scripture gives record of. I can say that. But the surface is what He has seen is dwarfed anything I've ever seen. I watched a video, and anybody can make an attack video. Anybody, you know. But a nephew, I would say the most renowned miracle ministry of this past generation.
worldwide renowned. The nephew that worked with his uncle, worked in the ministry, worked the platform, worked this. For 30 years, renowned about the miracles and people flocking the miracles and the claims of miracles. And the nephew, it was a kind of a lengthy video, but he said he worked the platform, never saw a single thing that could be construed as a miracle, as a great work of God. Never saw a single thing. Well, I'm going to tell you, you in this place have seen more than that. I'm not denying the works of God. I'm saying, God, I want to see the church that you shed your blood to present to yourself. I am persuaded that what He has promised, He shall perform. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. What's He talking about? A church. Not a building, but a body. And I believe that this, to fulfill this Scripture, would be something that God, in a sense, would duplicate all over this earth. And it wouldn't be under a title. It wouldn't be under, you know, a denomination. Some people think they're better because they're part of a denomination. Some people think they're better because they're not. And Paul says, it doesn't matter. Only a new creature matters. But I believe to fulfill this Scripture that you'd have to see this all over this earth. Sometimes small, maybe sometimes larger. I don't know. But a gathering of saints, living stones, placed together where God abides in their midst, and where Jesus Christ ministers the Word, where Jesus Christ heals the sick, where Jesus Christ casts out the devils, where Jesus Christ opens the blind eyes, where Jesus Christ is manifest. Someone says, oh, He takes flawed stones to build His perfect building. Well, what are you saying when you say that? Are you saying that, well, He might choose a preacher that can't say His R's, like this preacher, that gets things backwards and someone has to show him, play it back to him to prove it to him? Is that what you're saying, flawed stones? I accept that. But if you're saying sinful stones, that's not what He's talking about. He didn't shed His blood in vain. Someone says, Brother Keith, I've never seen that. I believe that there are those that have seen it in part. I've seen good churches. I mean, where God was moving, I've seen God move in this place so many times. Maybe I've even seen great churches. But I have to say I've never seen that which is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. But I am persuaded of it, folks. And anything else is just empty. Amen. I'm going to close. Someone might let Sister Hope know. I believe she's got the toddlers. I'm going to close here this morning. Brother Surface, and I might get him in trouble with this, because none of it uses politically correct terminology. But you remember you used to talk about kissing the hag? You say, why would he talk about that? And I think that I might have even been a teenager at the time. But he talked about one of these old black and white horror movie, film things.
you know, maybe a silent movie, I don't know, where this beautiful temptress was tempting this man, and he was rushing to her, falling under her spell, falling under her temptations, running to embrace, to kiss, and all that. And while they're embraced, being this hard thing, the beauty would fall away, and it'd be an old skeleton, witchy, you know, wicked, horror, ghastly-looking creature in its brace. And the man would push himself away, push himself away. And the creature would turn back into the beautiful, enticing lady and begin to woo him. What was wrong? Begin to woo him again. And suddenly he had no attraction at all. Why? Because he saw what it was. And that's what Brother Surface used to preach about. He kissed the hag. I've seen so much of what man can do and call it a move of God. And then I've seen its beauty fall away. And it doesn't entice me anymore. I want to see the church that God builds. I want to see the church that's built by the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I want to see the church that's made up of living stones, saved from their sin, filled with the Spirit of God, and placed in the temple of God for the fullness of Christ to be revealed. Someone says, well, that's just a pipe dream. If it is, I need to throw my Bible away. I'll tell you this morning, we're all stones, living stones. God, just over these past few weeks, just begin, as it begins to stir a few, begin to spread. Hearing you that He's stirred and you that it's spread to, keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. And be willing for the Spirit of God to move you. I've kissed the hag. I'm not interested in what someone can do with lights. I'll share something. Sister Betty Jean Robinson, early on in camp meetings, would come, and when we didn't choose to, she would pack the place out. And Betty's a woman of God. You could pack the place out, and you could, it was filled with excitement. You couldn't preach to them, though. Is that true, Brother Surface? You couldn't preach to them. You could, we left that first camp, man. Revival is here. People to the walls. Revival is here. They're here. They weren't there for God. They're there to see a show. Folks, I've kissed the hag. I've seen what Paul calls a fair show in the flesh. It looks like something's going on. I've seen the move of God. I've seen it in parts. I've seen it. I've tasted it. I've seen it in measure. And just the measure that I've seen makes all the fleshly shows nothing. Nothing. Lord, I'm not looking for something to build excitement. I'm looking to see what God would do. Let's come this morning. Let's gather. Let's worship God. And give yourself to the Lord. Like Brother Martin said, here I am, Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. It always begins with the individual.
begins with me, begins with you. A building starts with one stone, and that stone was the foundation stone. It was Jesus Christ. But one at a time, he finds another. And he said, I will build my church. And I am persuaded, and I trust you are persuaded this morning. And you may be lost this morning, but I say to you, if you'll surrender to Christ, you can be a stone in His temple. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. A living stone.
This is Pastor Keith Surface. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us for our spring 2023 camp meeting. It's April the 13th through the 16th at Calvary Outreach Church in Conroe, Texas. In these camp meetings, we're not seeking a show of excitement. We're not looking for what Paul called a fair show in the flesh, but we're looking for a real move of the Spirit of God and a visitation from heaven. We've had enough excitement in the church, and church has become a production. But I want to see, and I'm reaching out to those that want to see the church that God builds by His Spirit and want to be a part of that. So make plans to be with us in these special services. For more information, you can email us at contact@cochurch.org or call us at 281-572-9200 and make plans to be with us, and let's worship God and receive from the Lord in these great services. God bless you, my friend.